مدنی مذاکرات، مدنی مذاکرات آئی ٹی این دا لو آف مصطفیٰ، ٹرو ورچو اینڈ نالج شل ٹیک یو فار، ہیئر اٹ از مدنی مذاکرات، here it is. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Booklet Blessings of Salat and Salam, page number 2. Saying of the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم number 2. The closest to me on the Day of Judgment amongst the people will be he who would have recited more salat upon me in the world. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Eid-e qurban.
Viewers of Madani Shell, let's go towards animals. Two animals are standing. MashaAllah. They're looking beautiful. Brother Jameel, can you notice this? The way it's breathing. Brother Jameel, is it sign of anger or what is this?
No sir, it's not sign of anger. As weekends are busy days and crowd of people causes too much noise.
Oh yes, people are coming frequently.
And people keep on coming. As it is very big and heavy animal, it needs peace to rest. Yes, of course.
Just like it's hard for heavy people to get up and sit down.
Yeah.
Same is the case with them.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
Most of the people coming here because of them.
Yes, they are. Coming for them.
Okay. Well, this is the scene. I can feel it from here.
Yeah.
It's breathing.
It's hot.
Oh, it's because of hot weather. It's feeling hot. Oh, in that case, you should arrange some cooling system.
Yes, we have got cooling system for them at the back.
Big water cooler.
Yes, we have got big fan. A big water cooler.
Viewers, now we're going to show you some animals. Oh. Well, did you see what happens? First of all, you have to protect your own self. And then you should do something else. You're watching these two animals. Seen from this angle may look beautiful to you. And I might have been hidden behind these animals. Completely hidden. One is that you hide behind the walls. But this is different. These are, mashallah, two animals.
Its weight is 1,120 kg.
Oh, mashallah.
And this is 860 kg.
Oh, mashallah, 860 kilograms. Mashallah, these animals are very healthy. Look, how much are you asking for that one and this one?
This one is 3 million, and other one 2.2 million.
Oh.
Annual expense on a baby cow is 400,000 rupees.
Interesting. Is this still a baby cow?
Yes, baby cow. We serve them as our children.
Oh, I see. You love them like your children. Please tell us, how old is this one?
Sir, it's about 3 years.
Okay, this is 3 years old. Fine, take it. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Excellent. Beautiful. Views of Madani Channel. It's quite tall animal. Amir of Ahl Sunnah is also watching on TV screen. Even I'm looking small in front of it. And kids would look even smaller. It is such a tall animal. Even that brother is looking smaller. Dear brother, please smile a bit. How much is this?
Its asking price is 3 million rupees.
Its price is 3 million rupees. I would like to ask a question from Amir of Ahl Sunnah. That expensive animal. When in market, there is an animal which is on sale for 10 million rupees also. So in market, there are a few animals which are quite expensive. Like 8 million, 70 million. 50 million, and we've shown you one about 3 million. Is there any excellence of buying expensive animal for qurbani?
The animals that have just been shown, one of them was for 3 million rupees, and the second one was perhaps for 2.1 million or something. It was smaller than the first one. Now the question was that what is the excellence of buying an expensive animal? Now it doesn't mean that you buy an animal upon someone's persuasion for 5 million rupees and you think that you'll get more reward. It's not like this. Then on the other hand, there are animals that cost up to 10 million rupees as well, and they could be inflating the prices through these exaggerated figures as well. It should be a fair price. As in, a believer neither deceives nor gets deceived. However, being a human being, at times he does get deceived. Nevertheless, the stock is in the possession of his owner. He can put up whatever price he wants. So let's say it is a case where the demanded price is also justified. Its meat is also of fine quality, and its beauty is also very charming. It's of the highest quality. When all these things are met, for this, let me present a ruling before you from Bahare Shariat, which is not only a book, but a great blessing for the Muslim Ummah. It is stated in Bahare Shariat, Volume 3, page number 340. If the price of a she-goat and its meat is equal to the seventh of that of a cow, then the she-goat is superior. And if the seventh part of the cow contains more meat than the she-goat, then the cow is superior. And when the both have the same price, and the quantity of the meat is also the same, then superior is the one whose meat is of finer quality. And if there's a difference between the quantity of the meat, then in this case, whichever possesses more quantity of meat will be superior. And a male sheep is superior than a female sheep. And then a sheep with a fat tail, which is used to make cotton from, is called a fat-tailed sheep. It also has two categories, male and female. So a male fat-tailed sheep is superior than the female one, provided that they both have the same price and both have the same amount of meat. She-goat is superior than a male goat, but a castrated male goat is superior than a female goat, and a she-camel is superior than a camel, and a cow is superior than a buffalo, provided that they are equal in terms of price and quantity of meat. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
These animals have been grown up in farms in South Africa in such a manner that the mother is a female deer and the father is a male goat. So what my question was, that would their sacrifice be permissible?
Mother's female deer and father is male goat. Now, since a female deer is a wild animal, so the sacrifice of a wild animal cannot be performed. So now, if the father is the male goat and the mother is the female deer, then the sacrifice will not be valid. As is stated in Bahari Shariat, Volume 3, page number 340. Sacrifice of a wild animal, such as a wild cow or a deer, cannot be performed. If an animal was born through a wild animal and a non-wild animal, for example, a male deer and a she-goat, in this it will be based upon the mother, meaning the mother in this case is the she-goat. So, the sacrifice will be permissible, and if it is born from a male goat and a female deer, then it's impermissible. So in the question it was stated that it was born from a male goat and a female deer. The white animals that were shown, their sacrifice cannot be performed. This question was from abroad, from a foreign country. These animals are normally sold for sacrifice as well in those countries. If it is confirmed with certainty that the situation is exactly as stated in the question, then the sacrifice will not be valid. So one shouldn't buy them. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Okay, fine. You've mentioned a ruling with regards to a sacrificial animal. Now, suppose if someone slaughters an animal in other than Qurbani days, or is just slaughtering to eat, say in normal days. So question is, will it be halal to eat meat of this animal?
Yes, the meat of a female deer is halal, and so is of the male goat.
All right. We have received a text message and it is asked, we sacrificed one share of a cow, not a goat, on behalf of Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Will our qurbani be valid? Please guide.
Why not? It definitely will, inshallah, and for the sake of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, everyone else's will.
We received a question and it is asked, please guide about unveiling. In addition to that, is unveiling possible even after wearing clothes?
Observance of utter unveiling is not performed. When a person is wearing clothes, indeed forbidden to wear thin, immodest or revealing clothes. Such body parts whose covering is obligatory is fard. If the form of those body parts are visible, then glancing on those body parts of people is impermissible. Like, some people nowadays wear tight jeans and tuck their shirts in.
We received a question, the way people consume white sugar, can consuming jaggery also become cause of diabetes?
A doctor can tell better, but of course jaggery does have sugar in it. Don't try it though. A diabetic patient shouldn't try. The white sugar is normally refined using chemicals. That is why the researchers in this regard normally mention the harms of using and consuming white sugar. And they mention the benefits of jaggery. Nowadays, even jaggery is washed through chemicals and they make it neat and presentable through such means. So on our side, we should avoid eating clear, white, shiny jaggery, which looks very fine. Consume the organic one if need be. If that's available. It is available in Pakistan. I'm not too sure about abroad. Over there, I think you get jaggery in fine quality and in nice packaging, etc. However, organic jaggery is good to consume. It has its own benefits. But for a diabetic patient, it's very difficult that his doctor would allow him.
It is asked, a person who works for someone, when he takes off, his boss does not cut his wages. Is it okay? Or the employee has to get his wages deducted?
If it's a private institute and the owner doesn't cut off the salary, then it's a favor from him. So it's not necessary for him to cut the salary. But if he wants to, he has the right to do so. He can cut the salary.
In case if people have got private servants working for them, maybe in their office or home, like office boy, maids, or driver, gardener, etc. And sometimes these servants keep on taking days off. When their wages are deducted, they mind. They are also heard saying that our boss is oppressor and he does not treat us well.
They will be sinful to call them oppressor because they at their end are taking the right that Sharia has given them. And in case they don't cut the salary, then they won't get better either. If the owner is not cutting off the salary, then he's a good person. And then he would get worried as well. The servants would bother him on little things and take days off every now and then. So cutting off the salary accordingly would keep the system running efficiently. And the whole process will run smoothly. Otherwise, he'll keep taking days off. So this practice, which is prevalent in our society, where the servants or the employees, they call their owners or employers to be stingy or oppressive just because they cut their salary because of them taking days off, is wrong.
They are oppressive.
Astaghfirullah. They are becoming grave sinners and they are falling into slandering, which is even a bigger and severer sin than backbiting. He's not oppressing, then why call him oppressive?
When these house workers take day off, as a result, workload is increased on the members of household. Now these workers took off, members of household had to do their work as well as their own. And if wages are deducted, the servants mind.
They are the actual oppressors who say so.
Someone has asked a question that if someone in one rukun sneezes 3 times in salah, will this invalidate his salah?
No, it will not. Based on this, a person with flu can't offer salah at all. There are times that so many sneezes.
A sacrificial animal which has 7 shell in it, the part of its leg which is eaten has skin on it. Is it allowed to eat that skin?
Yes, skin of any part of the body of a halal animal is permissible to eat. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Someone is asking, how can we join beautiful Madani atmosphere of Dawati Islami?
For this purpose, there's no form that we've kept. Neither is there any membership for this, nor any membership fee. Be steadfast in offering salah and repent from sins and refrain from them, and attend the weekly gatherings of Dawat-e-Islami and travel in the Madani Qafilas once they resume, and participate in the religious works of Dawat-e-Islami. Be in touch and be in regular contact with the responsible individuals of Dawat-e-Islami, and try to perform the religious work that they assign you. Now, we don't have any kind of formal membership system for coming into Dawat-e-Islami.
MashaAllah. We received a question. It is asked, how is it to eat uncooked egg, and because of which the bad smell is produced in mouth? Is it allowed to go to masjid with such bad breath or bad smell in mouth?
Eating a raw egg is halal, but does it create such smell? I've heard this for the first time, that in such smell that stops a person from coming into a masjid. I don't have experience regarding this. If such smell is emanating, which becomes a means of botheration for others, in that case, the ruling is clear that he will be sinful if he enters the masjid and the angels will also be troubled. But I personally don't have any kind of experience in this. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of the Amir of the Ahlul Sunnah is that we heard that for the animal of sacrifice, the age of a goat should not be even one day less than 1 year. For a cow, not even one day less than 2 years, and for a camel, not even one day less than 5 years. My question is that would the age be determined based on the 365 days of the English calendar or the Islamic calendar, which works out to be of around 355 days? And also, please guide us on the fact that how can we deduce the fact that the animal is not even a single day younger than its due age? Do we have to believe in the words of the seller? Is it sufficient, or is there any other way of determining this as well? Please bless us with the du'as of forgiveness, Medina and Baqiyah.
This is a very old issue of ours, that how to determine whether it is 1 year old, 2 years old, or 5 years old. Because it is understood and clear that whatever Islamic matters there are, all of them are based upon Islamic calendar, which we unfortunately have forgotten. Currently, what date and month it is, what year we are in, many people wouldn't even know this. We remember the English dates. None of the Islamic festivals or any of the Islamic matters are based upon English dates. They're not used in this regard. These are widespread everywhere and have sort of dominated us. So in reality, we all should remember the Islamic dates. And as for the age, that should also be in accordance to the Islamic calendar. Now besides this, there's no apparent solution. Whatever the seller is saying, he should be trusted. And at times, they also lie big time. They end up showing you fake teeth and so many other things. A cut tail. They put it together with some kind of glue and so many other things. So may Allah make it easy. Either a person should bring the animal up himself, which is not possible for everyone, but those who are cautious would do so, so that you find the exact age of the animal yourself. And it is also superior to get the animal with four teeth. Now an animal with two teeth, like the sign for a goat to be 1 year old is him having two teeth. And a bigger animal will also have two teeth at the age of two, and the animal bigger than that, which is the tall animal, the camel. For a camel to have two teeth is a sign for it being 5 years old. I'm not absolutely certain in regards to a camel, but I'm presuming that by the age of five, two of its teeth grow. But how would it be final for certain with two teeth? Because one thing is that we need to understand that it's not going to happen that overnight the animal grows two teeth. Growing of the teeth is a process which happens gradually. Now let's say two teeth have grown. They will be a bit yellow colored, so slightly yellowish. And the initial teeth, the milk teeth, are white colored, and they're slightly bigger and wider. They're prominent and quite apparently stuck out from the front. But how would it be confirmed for sure that it is 1 year old? There needs to be an expert who can recognize the age of the animal by looking at its teeth, whether it is 1 year old or older than that. So this is quite a difficult matter. And if it has four teeth, then it will be confirmed that at least it is 1 year old. At times it also grows four teeth by the age of three. The experts of this field, like those who run cattle farms and are involved in this business, they know of all these things. They're experienced in this. I've heard about this, that they grow four teeth even at the age of three. I've heard from the same professionals that this also happens. And its meat would perhaps also be better in quality in comparison to the animal which has two teeth, the animal with four teeth. But our people nowadays have developed such kind of mindset that they only prefer two teeth animal. Now in two teeth, there are a lot of risks, as there's a probability of it not being 1 year old. Now if there's a sheep or a fat-tailed sheep whom we get cotton from, these animals, even if they are of 6 months old, and it is healthy enough to look like 1 year old if looked at it from a distance, then its sacrifice is valid. Now, based on this principle, if there is a gap of a few days for the animal to be 1 year old, then it will be fine. But be mindful that it should appear to be 1 year old. And it's not necessary for you to be able to figure it out. The seller would of course have this recognition. But there's a doubt in regards to the buyer. Now not everyone can recognize whether the animal looks 1 year old or not. How would you find out that the animal is looking 1 year old? If under 1 year old animal is mixed with the animals that are 1 year old, then how would you recognize it? So this is quite difficult. So my humble suggestion to you is that for whosoever it's possible should buy a four teeth animal so that the ambiguity gets removed. May Allah enable us. May Allah accept our sacrifice and may our negligence in regards to Shari'i rulings also get removed. Now, in case we deliberately sacrifice an animal that is under the age of one, thinking that Allah will accept it, Allah will forgive us, as is the mindset of the general public. So, deliberately doing this is not correct, and even saying is not correct, as the rules given to us by Allah Almighty and His Messenger are mandatory for us to follow. We'll have to act upon them. These rulings that we are talking about are not invented by any random scholar or someone. The scholars have deduced rulings from the Quran and Hadith, bringing them forward for us, making them easy for us to understand. The elite scholars of the past, like we are Hanafi, so our guide and main scholar in this regard is Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, who was a tabi'i. He rahmatullahi alayh was blessed with the company of the Sahaba alayhim wa ridwan. That's how elite he is, so we are Hanafi. So the rulings pertaining to his fiqh, we are bound by them, so Hanafi. The Shafi'i, in relation to rulings, they follow the jurisprudence of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh, so they are Shafi'i. Similarly, the Hanabil are the followers of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and the Malikis are of Imam Malik rahimahumullahu ta'ala. So they are the four Imams of fiqh, and following any one out of four of them is wajib for us, it is necessary for us, it is compulsory for us. But only one of them. If a person follows one imam in one ruling and another imam in another ruling, mixing up things like this, then he is not follower of any imam but of his own nafs. And he has presented himself upon destruction. And he who does not follow any of these imams, such an individual also has an imam, a guide, a leader. He's quite famous, upon whom we recite La Hawl. His name is Shaitan. His name is Iblis, but commonly known as Shaitan. In fact, his actual name is Azazil. The name of Shaitan is Azazil, with Ayn, Azazil. So an individual who doesn't follow any imam follows him. These are the four famous imams of the Muslims. There were many other imams in the past too, but now since centuries, there have been followers of only these four imams all around the world. So may Allah Almighty keep us amongst the imams. And yes, we will also be raised with our imams on the Day of Judgment. It's in the Quran, isn't it?
يَوْمَ نَدْعُو كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. On the day when we shall summon every group along with its leader.
Right, so alhamdulillah, we have an imam. We're not without an imam. It is the mercy of Allah Almighty that insha'Allah Zawajal on the Day of Judgment, we will be with Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh. We will be with him and he will take us in the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Insha'Allah. He was a great wali of Allah. And these imams and mujtahideen of ours in the past, regarding them it is said, Or maybe it's their own saying that if a mujtahid is not a wali, then no one else is a wali.
Al-Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has categorized mujtahideen in a very high category. They are great friends of Allah.
Yes. I also read this saying that if a mujtahid is not a wali, then no one else is a wali. This entails that there's no doubt in the fact that a mujtahid is definitely a wali. But it doesn't mean that you can start calling mujtahid anyone you want. Nowadays, you would perhaps come across many so-called mujtahideen here and there. They perhaps wouldn't even know the definition of a mujtahid. Every scholar is not a mujtahid. He's an elite scholar. There's certain conditions for him. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi alayh, has even written that no mujtahid has appeared since centuries. In this, of course, he referred to a mujtahide mutlaq. There could be mujtahid in Sha'i rulings like Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahimahullah, was mujtahid fil masail. Ulama have given him this title and called him to be mujtahid fil masail. Even he wasn't given the title of mujtahid mutlaq, whereas he was an elite scholar. A very, very big scholar. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Madani muzakira. Madani muzakira.